7:36 on East Coast Breakfast. Lil Nas X there with Old Town Road, and joining us live at East Coast Radio House, Springbok Sharks player. He is back in Durban in KZN right here at East Coast Radio House. JP Peterson, welcome!
Nice to have another OK who supports a decent football team. Yeah?
Oh, no.
Yeah. A Liverpool fan.
A Man United.
Man United. So it's...
Oh no.
Oh no.
We shouldn't have started with that. Man United fan. JP, actually, it's weird that you should be joining us now because we obviously just want to address the tragic news of yesterday. We tragically lost legend James Small. And like you, he was a World Cup winner. He was also a wing. He also played for the Sharks. He was also a Springbok. A lot of us, you know, were shocked. He's so young. Mm. I was just like, yeah. How did you react? How did you feel when you found out the news?
Yes, yesterday I found out the news and I was quite shocked. I couldn't believe it. And this morning when I woke up, I went through my Twitter newsfeed and actually hits me, and it's like, it was just only 50 years old.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And things happened, and for what I can remember for James Small is when I arrived in Durban, being around Durban, and I always see him out and about, but. Mm. For World Cup, winning the World Cup 1995, that's something really special. Mm. Playing against Jonah Lomo.
Yeah.
Mm. Nobody gave him a chance to do his thing. And
no one thought he could take that.
Exactly.
Take him down,
and he showed the world, and he's just a man that played with his heart on his sleeve. Mm. Every game, he's that passionate about the game. And he did so much for us as former rugby players to look up to. And yeah, we will go down as one of the greats of Springbok rugby.
Yeah, he's going to be missed. You know, when the news broke on social media yesterday, I thought it was a joke at first. I was like, I can't believe this. And I had to check the sources, and then I checked one news source and then a second news source and a third one. I really had difficulty accepting it at first because, you know, you know him.
Yeah.
And anyone who's met James Small, you're just like, the guy had so much energy, had so much vitality. He was like, you know, yeah. It's going to be hard for us to adjust to this.
Yeah, definitely it's going to be hard. Like you said, man with so much energy. I can remember him still 2007 World Cup. The 1995 team came in to give us a little speech, just
a little pep talk
to motivate us. Yeah. And everybody was there, and we were all looking for James Small. James Small was just chilling at the bar.
Yep.
And he made his appearance, but... That's his energy, and he just say how it is. Yeah. It's a straightforward guy, and yeah, may he rest in peace. Condolences to his family and his close friends, and yeah, I will definitely miss him.
Now tell me something. There's seems to be quite a trend happening here. Last year or earlier this year, Craig Burden spotted training with the Sharks. Next minute, Sharks sign him. JP Peterson spotted training with the Sharks. They sign you in Bloom. Ruan Pienaar has just signed a 2-year contract. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no even report. It's like, boom, these Oaks are back and they've been signed. Was it part of the plan to always come back, or were you literally coming back here, spending time with family? Because I know you said you're leaving Toulon. Were you still looking for other options overseas, or you wanted to play for the Sharks again?
I definitely wanted to play for the Sharks again, but like you said, it wasn't in the plan.
Yeah,
I was always looking at options of maybe going back overseas. That's how we planned our life, me and my wife. We just sold our house like 2 months ago before we came back. So we're a bit of in that no man's place. But yeah, things just happened quickly. Went up for coffee with Ed Kutsia.
Yeah.
And never had coffee. And
what, like in your life?
In actually having a coffee meeting. And
I see.
Had a coffee. And next, he just told me... the Sharks would love to have me back, but more like in a mentorship role and help the youngsters. And Sharks is like family to me. I couldn't say no. I had offers overseas. I almost said yes, and offers in South Africa somewhere else. But Sharks has always been number one.
I mean, who wants to go to the Kings? Gosh.
Was it the Kings?
I'm just saying, because they're signing everyone at the moment.
So. And we know what the Lions are like in Currie Cup, so we're not interested, yeah.
Well, thank you for coming back, sir.
No, it's a pleasure to be back. To be back in Durban, it's just like your energy is just lifted. It's just good to be home, that feeling, you know.
How long were you away for?
I've been away, probably 6 years.
Yes, like
I've been in and out for 3 years. That's Super Rugby Japan.
Yeah.
And I've been 3 years properly away. Yeah. So it's the first time I can say I'm back home.
Yeah. So, what are you going to miss? What are you going to miss about where you were? Is there anything? We know it's lekker to be home. The people, the weather, the beaches. Yeah. Just KZN. It's like the best place to be. But I mean, is there something that you sort of like go, hey, I'm going to miss that?
Miss overseas?
Yeah.
What I will miss overseas is probably that I'll have access to go to different countries close by and to visit.
Hello, also, Swaziland, Lesotho. Mozambique.
Yes.
Namibia, Botswana.
We're talking maybe about the Parthenon and Ibiza. You know, slightly better.
No, nothing's better than here.
Yeah, it's just great to be it's about meeting the overseas guys, especially New Zealand, Australian guys, and Francis was good to me, so
yeah.
It's good to have that. You know, something different.
JB, can I ask you something? When you were a small boy, did you want to be a rugby player?
He was never small.
Okay, when you were younger.
He came up like this.
When you were still 6 foot.
He's always been this big.
But 6 years old. Did you want to be a rugby player when you grew up?
I never had a choice. Huh? It's always a family sport. So that's the first thing we did. The first gift I got was a rugby ball. So I never had a choice of becoming. I tried one soccer.
Yeah? Were you bad?
Goalkeeper.
Yeah, I was goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And my dad told me, if you keep going this, I don't think you're welcome home.
No.
So it was always been rugby.
Okay, so was there anything else you wanted to do growing up? Or did your parents kind of push you into rugby?
No, they never pushed me. My mom never wanted me to play rugby, firstly. So it was never a push. It just happened. Played with all my cousins.
Yeah.
We had like thousands of cousins, so we got a big family, my mom's side, so it's always been rugby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when it's a big family, when you get together, you can just go play a game in the garden.
Exactly.
and the other thing is, you're talking about having coffee with Ed. Your mate is, if I stand to be corrected here, Waylon Murray, he's the director of sports at Westville. Yeah. At the moment. Have you caught up with him? Are you also going to be like director of sports at DHS one day? Because you've signed a contract until after the Currie Cup 2020, so... Like, what's happening after that?
Yes, I signed a contract till after 20 Currie Cup.
Yeah.
23 Currie Cup. Yeah, I'll see how the body goes. Maybe see if I can play another year.
Yeah.
But I actually signed a deal after to become a coach, become into the Sharks system.
Okay.
So I'll be part of the Sharks development, but they're going to develop me and become a good coach.
Brilliant.
Nice.
All right.
Well, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you, because we're not going to give you any gotcha questions. I'm going to put you on the spot. We're going to tell you what we're going to ask you. I wanted to ask you about your future ambitions as a coach. And then we actually might even test you a little bit like that. Would you have taken Koo and Bosch to the World Cup? What do you think of the current Sharks setup? What do you think should change going into the Currie Cup or setting up for the next Super Rugby season? Those kind of questions. Yeah. And possibly, we want to ask you, in all fairness, just sort of like sneaking in last minute, is there a chance... You know, that we can put a green and gold jersey on you. I'm just these kind of questions when we come back.
Yeah.
JP, what's this thing? What's this thing called married life? How's that?
Married life.
Yeah.
It's quite good. It's very good.
You have to say that.
She's listening.
Exactly. I think what married life made us, our bond goes tighter because we've been overseas and it's just the two of us.
Yeah.
And we have to help each other out and also explore a lot overseas. So we see a lot of memories. We travel the world together and we made a lot of new friends and get it out of our comfort zone, meeting new people. So,
but didn't you also, besides memories that you made, you also have a child, don't you?
Yes, I got a daughter. Name is Maya. She's 18 months.
Where was Maya born?
She's born in Toulon in France.
So now, is Maya a French citizen?
No, she's not a French citizen. She's got a 5-year visa, but she's a South African citizen.
So even if you're born in the country, that she isn't considered to be French?
You have to be in the country for five years plus.
Ah. Does she have a French accent?
Oh, yeah. She's like this.
She said, you first.
No, she goes like this. She goes, "Where, papa? Where?"
Where's
la croissant?
Only thing in the morning, every morning, it's just da-da. And my wife is not... She's the only words. She says, every morning, da-da, that means I must get up and make make Maya bottle. So yeah. That's it meets every morning.
Okay.
So she hasn't said mom yet.
See, we're trying, but not yet.
It's amazing how kids always go for the dada first, hey? And the mother's like, I carried you. I have breastfed you. And you just call for your father. They're like, they know where the money's coming, though. That's why.
Tell me about relationships. What's your relationship like with the Curry Cup coach for the show, Sean Everett?
Yeah, me and Sean, we go way back. Started with Sean, I don't know. Sean has been in the Sox for 10 plus years.
Mm.
So since my coaching, since Plumtree, Plumtree, Jack White, Sean been in the system and he been an assistant coach.
Mm.
So it's the first time he got a big opportunity to become, you know, the coach and the head coach. So
yeah.
So it's exciting times for Sean. And what I know about Sean is he knows his rugby.
Yeah.
He's a good rugby brain. And he did all his hard draft in a club rugby too. So it's exciting times ahead for the Sharks. And he brings us something special.
Just your rugby brain. I've never seen the Sharks as inconsistent. I thought last year they were very inconsistent. But in this Super Rugby season, a proper inconsistency. Absolute brilliance one day. And then just in, I don't know, on the next, back to brilliance, back to bad. It's inconsistency. If you were a coach, how would you, what would be your answer? You know, I'm asking you, coach, how can we be so inconsistent?
Yeah, it's quite a difficult question to answer.
Yeah, no, but I think Darren's asking because obviously for the last couple of years, you've been watching from the outside. So I'm pretty sure you've made a Super Bowl pick one or two that hasn't gone your way because the Sharks have played pretty cut. So he's asking, like, what would you have changed? We're not talking about player personnel, but other things you would have, you know, what do you think goes wrong?
Firstly, what I've been seeing from the outside is it just feels like they play with a bit of fear. It's just they play because they know there's going to be consequence for making a mistake. So they don't play without fear.
Mm.
What I mean without fear is like you trust your skill set.
Mm.
It's not like you're just throwing the ball around.
Yeah.
You trust your skill set, and we're all professional rugby players. We can catch and pass, but everybody else in the team, you got that something special.
Yeah.
And I think some boys are just play, if they make a mistake, they just go back in the shell. They're just like, I don't want to touch the ball. I don't want to make any mistakes. It just feels like...
Do you think it's because we're so harsh on our local players? We like, when one person makes a mistake, we just really, everyone just picks on them.
You mean as the public,
Jared? Yeah, the public.
Yeah.
I think so. It's even for South African rugby, I think it's hard for any youngster to come through the system because our public push them so hard. We want the youngster to come into the team, and then the youngster 1 year good, and then the next year is just a bit average, and they're like, now get a new youngster in, get the next youngster in.
Yeah.
JP, can I ask something? So from a perspectives space, we especially in KZN, we find it very difficult to get bums on seats at the stadium. From a player's perspective, why do you think it's so important that we come and watch you live?
Yeah, it's what we definitely gonna do is trying to get that not the old Sharks culture, but to get the excitement back. And it's gonna be like, not you're gonna, when the Sharks go into the game, there's a possibility of 80% they're gonna win the game.
Yeah,
that's what we want to bring back. And also is to get the joy a bit back, to see guys smile a bit on the field. Even if you make a mistake, it's just you will see there's a team playing on the field, and that's what we're trying to do with Sean coming into the Curry Cup.
Amazing.
And just quickly, Darren, I mentioned this earlier. JP Peterson, Springbok, is that over, or we still have ambitions of playing for the box?
Will you answer the call if Rusty?
Yeah, if Rusty calls now. Call. So, hey, dude.
As you see his number on the phone.
Appear down to
you. I think that smile says everything.
He's cack in training. Okay, JP, we need you.
Yeah, I'm still available.
Okay, check us. Okay, that's all.
I'm still available.
No, like
I'll speak to my people to speak to Rusty. And then call.
It's like Tinder for rugby players.
But you know what? Hang on, guys. I want to go back to that last question because I want bums in seats. I want us to be so proud and fill the stadium and enjoy the games, win or lose. And now this is the difference. You know this now from being in Europe. There are teams there that have never won nothing. But their fans come and they fill that stadium. In the States, they do it with the Boston Red Sox. They haven't won in decades, but the fans come and they support them. My team, Crystal Palace, you know you've got a 50-50. Well, not even 50.
No, there's a
20% chance. But that stadium is full. What do they do to get the people to back their team no matter what, win or lose?
Yeah, it's just that your loyal supporters and the people that believe in a team. But it's also if you look from outside, I've been in European stadiums. The stadiums are quite smaller to what
Hansabach
is. Yeah, that's a difference. Yeah,
so that's a massive difference. Mm. Especially in Toulon, it's like the max we go. It's 20,000. It's max.
And then it's full.
It's full.
Yeah, we get 14,000 to 18,000 here at King's Park, and it looks empty.
It looks empty.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You look at the Crusader Stadium, the Super. It's tiny. I think it's only like 10,000, 15,000, but it's packed every week. I don't know. I like the Township Rugby stuff. Maybe Ed, if you're listening, get a Curry Cup game in the Township, mate. Shout out to you.
So, you know, I back the Sharks. I believe in them 100%. And I think we're going to defend our Curry Cup championship. Do you think so?
I definitely think so. Some good, exciting young players in there. Mm. And there's guys that they did the job before last season. So it's quite exciting with Tara Mtembu and Jeremy Ward, co-captains.
Co-captains, yeah.
So that's
exciting times.
Exactly.
And plus they got JP Peterson on the team.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, me or the old man just there helping the young boys.
I'm happy you said that. Do the likes of Nohamba, Pepsi, JJ, Jeremy, do they call you Oom? They're 19. Hey, they're like 19.
Exactly. 19, 20, 21. They're very young. So I don't know if they just, the first time I arrived there, everybody was just like, hi, sir. And I was just like,
oh. Hey. OMJP, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning.
Thanks, JP.
Bye, Lanky.
All the best for the Sharks. All the best for your coaching career as well. And Rassie, hope you're listening.